Hi everybody, it's Nadine Peart here from HealthyYouHealthyLove.com, and today I have a fantastic guest here with me in the Love Room. Today I've got Carlos Cavallo, and Carlos is a really wonderful guy. I've met him in person actually twice in the last 8 months, and he is a dating and attraction coach, as well as a motivational life counselor, a health and fitness coach, and he's the author of Forever Yours, The Secret Password to His Heart, Get Your Man Addicted to Your Love, which is 33 Secrets of Passionate, Exciting Relationships, and also countless articles. Carlos brings to the table a variety of life experiences, including a background in relationship skills, life coaching, motivational psychology, sales management, and even martial arts and Eastern philosophy. And all of this really is wonderful when it comes to working with women, understanding women. And he also really has a very, very detailed and expansive background to a point with working with men. So he is really the go-to guy when it comes to women trying to understand men. So Carlos, fantastic to have you here and welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, so tell me, what got you started in the dating and relationship area?
Well, it's started quite a while back when, well, first of all, I had my own issues, as I think everybody does at some point or another, with relationships and whatnot. And I decided I had to learn more about how attraction and relationships really worked at a fundamental level, and not just the stuff you get from a lot of the relationship gurus out there, because they do talk, I think, quite a bit in an academic sense. They don't really talk about the true nuts and bolts of what makes people work really well together. I mean, the stuff that we don't like to always admit sometimes too. And I went deep into learning a lot about that and getting my own dating life and my relationships in line. And I started helping guys actually initially. I helped them learn how to really get the best out of their own dating life and whatnot. And I said, you know what, with all this information that I've pulled over the course of however many years of doing this, I've got to be able to bring some of this to the table for women too, because I think they want to hear it and know about it. And it's been kind of that journey. I've just taken the best of all the information that I've learned for men and from women in my relationships, and make us work better together.
Well then, so tell me then, from all that information, what do you then think is the number one cause of failure in relationships?
Oh, failure in relationships. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of cliches about what hurts, what destroys relationships, what makes them work and not work. I have to say that the number one cause of failure in most situations, and it's a very specific one, this is going to sound a heck of a lot more specific, it might even make you go, what? Mm-hmm. Is the buildup of contempt. The buildup of contempt in a relationship. And it's that resentment that we build up when we don't say what we're really thinking, or we don't want to press a point, or we don't want to appear as if we're being a certain way to our partner. And we almost sometimes, I think, we go at our relationships with a certain lack of forthrightness, is a way of saying it, I guess, but a lack of really being willing to put it on the line. And I think this can be more true, I think, for women, because they are much more focused on maintaining the connection in a relationship. They're also more prone to lowering their boundaries, to let things slide. Mm. And then, as of course, inevitably happens, you still feel that emotion, that feeling, that bitterness about it. And it comes back to haunt you anyway. So while you may have retained the relationship in the short term, in the long term, it will really destroy a relationship, where you just have to be able to express those things that bother you in healthy ways. Get them out of the way. No contempt builds up.
Mm. And I think that the biggest challenge is that women get so confused as to how to express themselves in a way that men get. And I was watching, I was reading something not long ago, and I can't recall the name of the book right now. And it was a psychologist that was doing a study with couples, and that when the couple had an expression on their face of contempt towards each other, that really, they were the most difficult couples to work with, because it gotten to the point where they didn't even like each other anymore. And the passion and everything has sort of disappeared. So it's really interesting that you say that.
Yeah, that's, I believe what you're talking about. I read the exact same book. It was from John Gottman's research. And yeah, they would have couples come in and they were videotaping and they did the study. And I guess it was an indicator in, I think he said, well over 92% of the women or men that expressed like the eye roll or that look of, oh my God, there they go again, that contempt expression, it indicated 92% of the failures in a relationship. So it was the number one indicator.
Wow. That's huge. So then, as I mentioned before, it's like how do women? So, what are the biggest mistakes that women make when talking to men?
Well, first of all, we got to remember that for women, conversation is creating a flow of connection energy. And it's also a journey, not a destination. For men, what men are doing typically is we're communicating facts and data, and we don't focus on the same things in the context of talking. So if you're in a relationship, if a woman's in a relationship, one of the big things that women do that's a relationship, it can be negatively impacting the relationship, but it can also kill communication, and it even sabotages what the woman wants, is deflecting his compliments. And this happens quite a bit. And there's even been videos that parody this thing that women do, which is to, if a woman comes up and compliments another woman, says, "Wow, that dress looks fantastic on you." And she'll go, "Oh, this old thing, no, I pulled it out of the garbage this morning. In fact, I was going to burn it after I got home." It's that funny little self-deprecating way because women learned to do that as a mechanism because for younger women and girls especially, to accept a compliment would kind of imply a certain amount of self-centeredness and it made you stand up. It's just a weird little social order thing among women. But unfortunately, that thing that works so well with other women really doesn't work well with men because men are giving you a genuine compliment. And if you don't take that, if you don't accept it, what happens is he interprets it as kind of an insult. It's kind of like saying, "Oh, my opinion wasn't real. My opinion wasn't valid." And he gets turned off by that, and he won't compliment you. He won't adore you the way you want. So you have to learn how to graciously accept those compliments that men give.
It's more like, "Hey, baby, oh, you're beautiful." Give him a kiss and say, "Thank you."
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just a lucky girl.
Exactly. Just make it as easy as possible. Remember that the things, the weird little dynamics we create in our relationships are very, very often created by that not being upfront and just candid right on the spot, where you just kind of, like we were talking about, where you deflect a compliment or you just let something slide that you probably shouldn't have, and then it builds, and then it just builds up in the background. It creates that negative energy.
And I suppose it has, well, that's has a lot to do with relationships. It's just those little things. Sometimes the smallest things, if you just change those, it can create such monumental change. And I do think that sometimes people do complicate relationships. And if they just made those little changes, then the men will respond to you differently.
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the things I've also heard and I do talk about is that as much as women want compliments, and then you're saying we're deflecting them, a lot of the time women forget to compliment their partner. Do you think that can be a bit of an issue as well? I mean, I'm a naturally a complimenter, so I don't really have that issue. However, a lot of women want all these things from men, yet they're not actually, reciprocating.
No, that's exactly on the mark. Not expressing admiration and appreciation for what the man does in a relationship is also a really big communication killer and a relationship killer because that's one of the things the guys use. There, we have these things that I call feedback loops. If you give something to the other person that they want and it's in, like they talk about the languages of love, if it's in the way that they want to receive that appreciation or love or whatever it is, they feel, picked up and juiced by it, and then they'll give back in kind. And the same thing happens with this sort of thing. If you don't express, you see, what our main focus is with women, believe it or not, this is like every guy is like this. We want to make women happy. That's like what we're looking to do. We're trying to make women happy on every level. And, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's in the bedroom or just in the relationship. So when we don't get that admiration and appreciation, we have no feedback loop there to tell us that we're doing the right thing. And it leaves us feeling empty and incomplete. And, women know that this feels like as well. So that's true with it. You got to have that admiration and appreciation. Really just making him feel like he's the man. That's what it really comes down to.
Absolutely. So feedback, ladies. Give your man lots more feedback. And know that, you know, he makes you feel good. That's basically the bottom line, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So to understand men better, what do women need to know to read a man's signals and what he is actually saying? Because I think that women can misconstrue what men are saying and personalize things or be reactive to something when they weren't meaning that at all.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that a woman needs to read from a man, this is just cuts straight to the core, I think, of a lot of women's issues with men, is why men pull away is often really, really misunderstood. And not knowing the reasons actually creates something I call a disconnection feedback loop. And it sounds kind of terribly scientific, but it's not. Yep. Men usually disconnect or they unplug from a relationship in order to kind of recapture their sense of masculinity. And most of the time it has nothing to do with a woman, really, at all. Mm. You see, a man doesn't feel completely like a man when he's intensely connected to a woman for too long. What he needs to do is he needs to connect in cycles. It's kind of like catching your breath after you exercise. You know, the exercise feels great, but you got to stop and catch your breath, and then you can go back at it with more focus and energy. And the same thing is true about relationships with men. And this panic feedback loop I was talking about, this disconnection panic that women feel, is where a man pulls away because he needs to attend to his feeling of masculinity, but he doesn't tell you what's going on because he doesn't really understand it that much himself, and mostly because he assumes you'll be okay with it. Not understanding that a woman feels this disconnection panic and that it sets off all kinds of emotional alarms with her.
Yes.
And then when she tries pulling him back in, well, he views this as kind of a breach of his space. He starts to feel a little smothered and he panics, and it confirms his suspicions that his freedom in the relationship is starting to be limited. And again, that's another big driver for men, is the freedom within the relationship. Mm. So, you know, women have to learn how to recognize that cycle, break that pattern before it starts, and be able to give him that disconnection time that he really needs. And the best way to do this is just have a little coping strategy for situations that put you into that kind of disconnection panic. You know, like have a girlfriend that you can call that can talk you down and reason with your emotional mind a little bit. Have a distraction to keep you from falling into that overanalysis that happens, because I think today one of our big issues in relationships is we have way too much time to think about our relationship. You know, and plan these strategies during the time when you aren't feeling this panic, pressing urgency of this emotional panic going on, which is, of course, when you're least, you're least capable of dealing with something when you're in that mode. So do it when you're not in that mode. Have this a thought out in advance. That way when it happens, you can go, oh my God, I got to call Arlene or whoever, and I got to vent a little bit.
So when a guy does, say, for example, things have been pretty smooth and you've been going out on quite a few dates, or maybe it's been a couple of months you've been together, but I think it can tend to happen more obviously in the first, say, month of dating. Although it does happen in or within a relationship at times. So you've been on, say, 5-6 dates, and all of a sudden you normally hear from the guy most days and he hasn't called you or made contact with you for 4 days, for example, or 2 or 3 days. And so women then tend to get, proactive, I suppose, or reactive, which means they may send them a text or they start turning themselves inside out thinking that something's wrong. So what would you say then? Do nothing? Or you can send them a little text to say, what's your recommendation?
The best way to do that kind of communication, you have to be able to put communication out that doesn't sound like it's craving a response or desperately needs a response, right? Because then it sounds needy and it feels needy and it puts us in that weird mode of, oh boy, they're being needy.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is to put it out there as if you're literally putting like a message in a bottle and you were saying it like you're like somebody's on a ship and they're sailing off and you're just yelling one last thing at them and then you're going to turn and walk away. And what I mean by that is something to the effect of, hey, just wanted to see, hope you're having a great day. I'm going to the gym soon and just thought about you. You know, leave it out there. Don't ask something too pointed that says, please, please, please respond to me because I'm panicking over here. Right? You put it out there and then see what he does with that energy, right? Chances are, if it's very neutral like that and just kind of a goodwill, hey, I'm just thinking about you, he'll respond. But if he's in a mode where he's just needing that little, like guys sometimes need their space, he doesn't want to hear, hey, wondering what's going on with you. Why don't you call me? Please call me. Why aren't you calling me? We don't want to hear that. And that's going to freak him out and he won't call.
That's right. And also, on an energetic level, I think women think that, oh yeah, no, he can't tell that I'm a bit annoyed or a bit pissed at him, when in actual fact, they might not be saying anything. They're trying to be cool, but energetically, they're still speaking volumes that they're annoyed and there's a needy energy. So I, you know, getting women to not do that is sometimes difficult because they're trying to pretend and they know they're not supposed to be annoyed or feeling hurt. Yeah. And then they're still saying it without saying it.
Yeah, that's true. And it, just very, that's why I think texting, if it's done right, yeah, with very few words, can work better because it doesn't give you a whole lot of space to mess up.
Yeah, exactly. No questions, no questions at all. Just a statement, girls.
160 characters or less. Keep it down.
Yeah. So, okay. So now that we've, and I love that we spoke about that because it's one of the biggest things that, I mean, I've been there. And I think men go through it on some level too, if the girl's a little bit more, you know, not as great a communicator as some other women can be. Okay. So you're in a relationship and, you know, you're with a guy and you want to communicate in a way to get what you want. And without being a nag, how do you do that? Like, what's the best way for women to get what they want and to communicate better?
Well, is this something like you want him to do, or something that you're trying to communicate that you just want from the relationship, something in that area?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, like, let's talk about a relationship, because there's a lot of women who are listening to this, that some of them are dating, some are single, and some are in a relationship or in a new relationship. And at the early stages of a relationship where there might be a hiccup, or even just throughout a relationship, I think people can get a little bit sloppy, and they can speak to their partner in a way or communicate in a way that doesn't get them what they want. Mm-hmm. So maybe like, yeah, maybe for someone, yeah, in the relationship.
Well, a lot of couples do fall into something I call a pattern of indirect communication. Mm. And that is, they assume things are communicated or understood, or they leave those things unspoken, like you were talking about, and the mistaken belief that the other person should just know it, right? Mm. They should just pick up on it. You should just understand, that's me, and read my mind. And it's so funny how we put that out there, and we don't think we're saying, please read my mind, but we're saying, please read my mind.
Yeah.
But that,
why
pattern
can't you see that I want you to do this?
Yeah, and I think that, you know what's funny? I think that comes from a belief that we don't want to believe that the person can't pick up on that, because that means they're not really as connected to us as we thought they were. Mm. Right? So we're offended and we're hurt that they didn't see that, because anything else would mean, oh, they're really not as in tune with us as we'd like to believe. When in fact, nobody's really that in tune with another person. I mean, yeah, we can become pretty in tune, but we're also looking at life through our own filters and our own eyes. But back to your point about getting what it is you want. Mm. That indirect communication is, we're trying to, you know, we try to avoid the elephant in the room, to avoid the possibility that the other person is going to reject us or revoke their love, right? That's a really kind of a deep-seated thing. We don't think that logically, but that's what's going on inside our emotional mind. Yeah. And we end up being unclear about our boundaries and our needs. Mm. So we have to be willing and able to step outside that comfort zone and press a little bit into that area, without being demanding. When it comes to getting what it is you want, make sure that, for women, this is just a general thing, is you got to be careful never to punish or chastise verbally, you know, through behavior even. It's difficult. It's something that we're all very aware of, yet we fall back on it as being the easiest way to get what we want, right? Mm. And just demand it, or, you know, be very catty and negative if we don't get it. We assume that this is sort of like asking for what we want, but in a negative way. Mm. And for men, for women, I always kind of advise, and this is something I learned from a good friend of mine, one of the best things you can do is demonstrate the behavior and do the thing that you're kind of expecting the other person to do,
yeah,
right? Just asking out of the blue for somebody to do something without your ability to do it yourself and show them, usually they're going to see your behavior and they're going to want to follow your lead. But to get men to do something, here's an easy way for women to do that. Appreciate the behavior before it's even demonstrated. And that means, this is like one of those weird things where you're going to resist it and go, no way, wait a minute, he's not taking the trash out at night. Why would I ever, you know, like, compliment him on doing that? And that would be just as simple as how you could do it. You just say, you know, honey, I just love the way you're always a step ahead of me. And, you know, you're cleaning up stuff without me having to ask. You take the trash out without me even having to bother about that. It really helps me out a lot.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard.
You haven't done it in 3 months.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that if the other person hasn't done that. But it sure as hell is going to get your way a lot better than why won't you ever do what I ask? Yeah. Why won't you ever take it out? You know, any kind of negative method of communicating that is like hitting them over the head with something to get them to do it. Mm. But unfortunately, again, that's what we're so used to. We're accustomed to it. It's how our parents had to kind of. It's how we handle kids in a lot of cases. Yeah. So just remember that if you want to get him to do something, sometimes the best way you can do it, if it's not too far down this path anyways, is to just compliment him on the behavior you want in advance of him actually doing it. And he'll live up to it because he has that desire that he knows that makes you happy. Now he wants to live up to that.
Yeah. And look, even in a man's mind or even in anyone's mind, I suppose, is like, even though they haven't done it in however long and it seems like it's too long, in their mind, they probably think that it was only last week. You know, time flies.
Yes, so. Exactly.
Anyway, so I just love that. So, okay, so basically, don't make your guy wrong. Try to empower him with how you communicate about what you'd like. And none of us want to be made wrong. I mean, women and men are different in many ways, and in some ways men are more sensitive, yet no woman likes to be told that they're doing something wrong either. Generally, we all, you know, get the hairs in the back of our, you know, like a cat, we'll kind of rear our backs up and we just, you know, get our back up, should I say. Yeah. So that probably leads me then to men and women's communication styles can be quite different. And maybe we've just sort of covered it, but is there something, if there's something you want your partner to do or stop doing, which, you know, is there even beyond what we've said, is there anything else that you want to share there? That you have found that works for you. I mean, you're married. You're in a relationship. You've got children. Is there anything with you even that you find, or with your partner, that you think, oh, you know, that's what really works in our relationship?
Yeah, one thing I've noticed, and this is consistent in every relationship I've seen that really works well, and it's funny that they all seem to kind of intuitively do this, is something I call the tease and nickname technique. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's a way of taking the negative emotional charge out of something that you want to bring to their attention. Like, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, I'm going to give it from the man's point of view just for a little change of pace. Mm-hmm. He had his girlfriend coming over on a regular basis, and she would totally trash his bathroom when it came time to put on her makeup and stuff in the morning, because she would typically leave from his apartment to go to work that day. And he was just getting a little bit annoyed by it, and he didn't want to, you know, be negative and mean. But what he said was, honey, I really love that you leave behind all this blush and makeup. I've decided that I'm going to try this particular color of lipstick myself, and I really do like this kind of foundation too. If you get me more of that, I'd really like it. And, you know, he kind of went into detail like this over, and she was starting to get the point. She's like, okay, I get it. And then he kind of nicknamed it. He nicknamed it her – I forget the exact name he gave it, but I think he called it her Maybelline hour. Yes. And kind of implied that was what she was doing when she was trashing the bathroom, and said, honey, have you cleaned up after Maybelline hour? And she's like, yeah, I'll get it. And she did, right? Because it was fun and it was funny, and it wasn't meant to be a browbeating or a slap across the back of the head. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun way of bringing that to her attention, and they could laugh about it, and it was just a playful way of doing it, and that works. And that works for both sexes really, really well.
Yeah, trying to see the humor in the situation and make it a bit fun.
Yeah, like you're not annoyed. And that's one thing we do, is we bring out the annoyance in our voice and the anger and the, you did something wrong to me. And of course, nobody's going to respond to that because that was never their intention. Mm. But it makes it kind of, like you said, it makes you dig in your heels, the heckles on your back come up, and you're like, I don't want to, I'm going to resist just because you're kind of attacking me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that the more evolved that we are, the more clear about who we are, the less we tend to do that. And a lot of us get triggered, you know, by our past, or maybe our mother was really strict or whatever it was. So sometimes when we hear someone saying something, we can actually link back to other things. And it's not always what's going on in the present situation. And I think that the more evolved we are, that the easier that can become with dealing with these kind of situations.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to dating for a moment. So when we're dating, when we're trying to find out about the guy that's sitting in front of us, what are some of the best questions to ask a guy early on in your dating sort of courtship with somebody?
I'll share a great tip that I used to give to guys, because it works for anybody really, and it's a way to kind of cut past a little bit of the small talk and the chit chat that we can kind of get bound up in and never really get to anything good. Mm. If you want to learn about somebody and you really want to, you know, bring out some of the things you need to look at to see if they're somebody that's good for you or not, use something I call power questions. Yep. And a power question is an open-ended question that just kind of cuts immediately to some fun talk or what we call big talk as opposed to the small talk. Like, I'll give you an example. I for a while, was kind of a master of speed dating. Mm-hmm. And I even was an organizer for the events here in San Francisco for a while. And I learned quite a bit about it. And one of the things I discovered was the use of these questions really quickly set me apart from the rest of the guys that these women were talking to, because you want to be memorable enough that they're going to check yes on their card and they're going to want to see you again, right? Sure. So I knew I only had 8 minutes or whatever it was, 5 minutes to really make an impression. Yeah. So I would ask one of these questions. I'll give you an example. So what are you doing to make the world a better place? And immediately we're like, what? Because they're used to somebody saying, so what do you do? Where do you live? Have you been here your whole life? You know, all that stuff we can constantly use because it's comfortable and it's not offensive. Instead, I would just kind of jump right into the deep end and say something like that. And they're like, wow, I never thought about it. And it also shows that I'm thinking a little deeper. I'm thinking beyond the superficial. Mm. And I'm also thinking critically. I'm looking at the person with, you know, a little bit of an analytical eye, which is realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think a woman doing that is also really good because it sets up an immediate kind of expectation about her. Not too critically, of course. Just do it and play. Do it with a fun tone. Mm. But asking a question like that, or you can ask something like, if you could have any career or job in the world, what would it be?
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're getting them to think in terms that shows you who they really are, kind of breaking them out of the mold. Dilemma questions are also really fun. Things like, would you get a really big tattoo to save an endangered species? You know, figure out their moral compass, and you kind of get them thinking, and it breaks past a lot of the superficial BS that we put up when we're talking to people. Yeah. So those questions are really good. I call them power questions. But even better than that, if you want to learn about somebody, just really tune in and dial in and watch their behavior. Mm. You know, for women, one of the big things I tell them to do is to watch how a man treats the wait staff or the people that, you know, you tell the bartender, whoever it is you talk to order from, wherever it is you go out on that date. Mm. And just really, you know, see how he treats people he doesn't have to treat nicely.
Yeah.
You'll get a really big indicator right there.
Absolutely. It's the whole character side of things that I think women are very good at overlooking, and men can overlook it too. I mean, men can get hooked on things and so can women, but yeah, character is what makes a relationship work, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I think we've all been, we've all overlooked things in the past and you definitely learn along the way, but some of us continue to make the same, you know, decisions, or whether they're right or wrong, but they're not great for us. And you know, everyone listening here has probably been on the dating scene for a while or in a relationship they're not that happy with, and we've got to change our patterns and do things differently. So this is what this is all about.
Yeah, when you're at that stage early on, this is like the best time to be making these kinds of decisions, because once your heart starts getting involved or your lust starts getting kicked into gear, you're going to throw rational thinking out the window. So you've got to use that time as best you can and short circuit some of those self-defeating behaviors we get into that, like you're saying, you know, sometimes we ignore those things. And the reason why is not because we want to ignore a red flag. Well, it is, but it's because something else is competing with it, like our chemistry, the physical desire part, or maybe something else is attractive.
And actually, talking about that, what is your recommendation? So you've worked a lot with guys, you know how they think. I have my own guidelines, or the way I think that, you know, sex should come into a relationship. What are your thoughts? What do you think is the best way for women to go about getting physically involved before they get hooked on, you know, so they don't get hooked or don't get hurt or they're making better decisions with men?
Well, if her goal is a relationship, and I think most women's is, there are, you know, if you're in your early 20s or I can't really say depending on age either, but if you're not in the mode of looking for a long-term commitment that, you know, might lead to a family, then, you know, go out, have fun, do whatever. But if you really do want a relationship and you want to build that, the thing that has consistently worked is to wait to hold off a little bit. Now, exactly how much time, I can never tell. But when it comes to the three-date rule, that's a place to start. Honestly, it's a matter of making sure that you are establishing the boundaries.
Yeah.
And not – because the reality is that guys – this is one of those misperceptions. I think I can probably tell this better by just explaining something about guys to women.
Right.
Guys do want sex quickly, but we don't like it when we get it. It's like getting the toys before Christmas. It's like being able to open up all your presents. It's very, very deflating, depressing, and just totally disappointing.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of guys do leave. They just because they got it too easy. And now there's no fun, there's no thrill, there's no chase. We absolutely need a challenge and a chase, and we want that, even if we'll never verbally admit it. And even if everything we do it seems to override that, the reality is that you stand a much better chance by waiting. Like I said, though, there's nothing wrong with just jumping in bed if you're not looking for a relationship. But if you are, then you have to hold back that much because you have to. There's a dynamic, and I call it kind of the currency or the negotiation energy of a relationship, and that is there has to be dynamic tension. That's good sexual tension between the man and the woman. And that's created automatically by the most natural thing on the planet, which is our sexual desire. It's there for a purpose. And our little evolutionary mechanism that we've come up with, which is women tend to say, no, 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 no. And men are like, please, 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 please. And men are like, no, 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 no. And it goes back and forth. And it's this tug of war. That's what builds attraction in men. And that's what also makes them stick around long enough. And it fuels these brain chemicals. You can read all about this in some of the, you know, the books they've come out with recently about how this process actually creates bonding in men and women. It's the not getting what you want that makes you continue to stick in there and really drives up the desire.
Yeah.
And you can see that in everything. Every pattern in your life has probably gone through that. We don't really. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm thinking of the Janet Jackson song now. You don't appreciate what you got till it's gone. But
I know what you're saying. It's like what is Steve Harvey and the cookie the whole thing about the cookie. You know, you've got to hold back on the cookie is basically sex. And you can't give the guy the cookie. I think his is like, honestly, it's like 90 days or something, 3 month probation. It's probably a little bit too long. I actually was in a relationship with a really amazing man, and he was a lovely, beautiful person. And I think that we waited around 7 weeks, close to 2 months before we actually slept together. And hope he doesn't hear this, but he won't. It was probably the worst sex I've ever had in my entire life. And yet we had such an amazing emotional connection by that stage. And I knew about his past, and he had some really deep trauma in his life. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a coach. If anyone can help him, not that I wanted a project by any means, because he didn't present like he really needed a lot of help. But when we actually slept together, it was definitely, whoa, what is going on here? Because this is something's not right here.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult for me. And I didn't end the relationship for a while. And I went to a therapist with him about it. And in the end, I just thought, you know what? We're just too different. And there were lots of things that were presenting, and I ended up ending it. And we're still very good friends. But yeah, so sometimes waiting too long isn't so good either.
No, that's a very excellent point. It's something I do point out. I really don't think that, you know, everybody comes from a different moral and religious sometimes background, and I'm not going to talk to that at all. But the reality is, yeah, you do need to. There's a certain amount of letting out of the steam that you have to do at a certain point. Don't go crazy with this stuff, because you can fight. You're right. You can get yourself a little too involved and then realize, oh my God, what have I got myself into? So, yeah, there's a time to finally take it out for a test drive.
Yeah, and I think that if you're getting that sense that this is leading towards a relationship and that, you know, monogamy, like, is this person sleeping with other people? Not that you know, I think that takes a bit of time. And I don't want women to get hooked on men that aren't really relationship material. That's what they're wanting. Unless, of course, as you said before, you know, if you're wanting a relationship, take your time. Otherwise, do whatever you want. I do think that, though, women, because life has changed and men are confused how to be a man and what is it to be a man sometimes, and women are more liberated and more independent. And I think that they think, oh, well, just because I'm a woman and I'm allowed to have sex with a guy whenever I want to, and I shouldn't be seen at, why should I do the game thing? And I think that really, come on, girls. The fact is that you want to get to know the guy too, regardless of whether they think you're, I mean, think less of you or more of you. It's more, I mean, try not to, I think it's important to try not to get too hooked on that, but just to get to know the person, and that will sort it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, now you, I've got a couple more questions for you. In your program, though, Password to His Heart, you do have a lot of this information in there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I talk a lot about the various, well, basically revealing and kind of opening up what I call the man map to women, exactly how a man's mind is working. Not the stuff you don't need to know or the dumb little cartoony things you see all the time where it shows like a map of a man's brain and there's a big section that just says beer on it. You know, that's ridiculous. That's really not helpful to women to understand because guys aren't that superficial or one-dimensional. But to really understand where his motivations, where his drives come from, what he's thinking, and really to answer the big three questions about a guy that a woman needs to know, and they revolve around understanding what stage he's in. Because very often, what the mistakes a woman makes that can drive a man away come from not really fully understanding that a man goes through distinct stages on his way to being committed in a relationship. And when you know what those stages are, when you understand that, you know exactly what to do.
And also, just to clarify, is this program also good for people in a relationship? Is it more for dating, or does it work for both?
Oh, it works for both. And I think probably leans towards women that may already be in a relationship where she's feeling a man pulling away. But honestly, if a woman knows this stuff before she meets a guy, she is going to be way, way ahead of the game because she's not going to go through those I guess moments of panic and anxiety over a guy pulling away or is any of his behaviors that are normally kind of a mystery are not going to be a mystery, and she's going to feel much more comfortable. And I think that's a key right there because when women feel like they're going a little crazy in a relationship, that's it's a panic unto itself because she knows that she's creating that in some cases. Even if he's the one starting it, she's the one creating the dynamic, and they don't want that. Nobody wants that in a relationship. But knowing and understanding these things about how men work, why they do what they do, helps women to go, oh, okay, he's just doing this. He's doing X or Y or Z, and you know exactly how to handle it and contend with it, and not panic or freak out.
Yeah, that's right. No panicking. Stay in your heart and try to communicate without going into fear. And that's, I think, a lot of our biggest challenge is staying in our heart and communicating and moving through life from our heart rather than a place of fear and being too analytical and freaking out and allowing everything just to consume us. Okay, so for those of us who are in a relationship and the relationship is struggling and you don't know what to do, whether you should end it or whether you should try and make it work, what do you have to say to women in that situation?
Well, you know, ultimately, your heart's going to have to give you that final answer because everybody's situation can be just so dynamic and different. The complication arises when you've been emotionally invested in it. And for a woman, that's one of the hardest things to walk away from is an emotional connection with somebody. It's just the way women are built. It's not to say that it's easy for men by any stretch, but I think in a lot of ways it can be more difficult for women to do sometimes what the man can't do. But you have to, when you're in a relationship, it's the toughest decision to make. Your viewpoint's skewed, your hormones are keeping you addicted to this person. The path of least resistance is always the one that's more attractive, right? Which is to keep trying, to keep working on it, to keep going forward because it just feels like the easiest thing to do. And the hardest thing to do is leave the known for the unknown that could be worse, right? There's that saying, better the devil we know than the devil we don't know. And again, that's just where a woman has to. The best thing I think that women can do, and I advise this for guys too, is to get that third party kind of neutral feedback. Don't go to a girlfriend who doesn't like the guy. Go to the girlfriend who thinks you guys are at least somewhat okay together and is, you know, understands you and understands what's going on, and get that extra perspective. You know, tell her what you're thinking. Don't ask her, hey, should we break up? That's not a fair question to ask, but ask the things that are related to your decision as to whether or not you're going to be leaving or not. Like, do you think this guy is really ever going to propose? Do you think this guy's really in it? Is he really committed? Do you think he's a faithful kind of guy? Things that you can base a real decision on and then be willing to make that decision when the time comes.
Yeah. And there are things like obvious, like deal breakers, like abuse and cheating and all those kind of things. And I don't think that cheating necessarily means a relationship has to end, particularly if it's only once and then you work through it and whatever. But if a guy is a perpetual cheater and women cheat too, I think the statistics are more women cheat than men now. So I don't want to be talking about men that men are cheaters, because I don't necessarily believe that. However, there are certain things and women are very good at overriding even those deal breakers and will still stay. So I think, for example, your program, it could be just that, you know, the relationship, you just disconnected, and maybe if you tried different ways of communicating and maybe you do have a habit of making your partner wrong all the time, and if you were to change it and be more empowering, then which I'm sure you have some great information about that in your program, then, you know, try different things. Maybe you need to change your approach, and then your partner may come forward, and if you've tried everything it doesn't work, well then, you know, you have a decision to make.
Exactly. Yeah. There's something they call the contribution factor, which is what we often overlook in our relationships, right? There's what we always look at, geez, I'm not getting the love from that person, but ask yourself, you know, why is that happening? Or, boy, this guy just constantly walks all over me. Well, you have to ask the question sometimes, the uncomfortable question, what did you do to make that okay in the relationship? Because that's what really happens. It's never like when I talk to people that believe that divorces can be one-sided, I have to tell them, no, there's always a contribution factor from both people. It doesn't mean that one person, you know, that both of them are totally horrible or anything like that. It just means that there's always something both people did to kind of put themselves in that situation.
Actually, that links to something you said really early on when we started talking at the beginning. You said that women are so fearful of being or their ideas or their boundaries being rejected, or the person's going to leave them. Very early on in the relationship, basically, women or anyone teach people how they want to be treated. So for those and early on is when it, you know, you set the pace of the relationship, the kind of quality of a relationship. So what would you say to the women out there that are early on in their relationship, or even not so early on, that are so fearful of communicating what's important to them or creating boundaries around certain things?
Well, I think the first thing is get my program and understand how to communicate to us. Now, in all fairness, I do explain that there are certain ways. It comes down to that communication thing, right? We want to know how to communicate. And neither side, neither men nor women, always understands how to communicate the best at the best times. And we just have to know how to do that well enough. For women, a lot of that can come down to knowing how to communicate those boundaries up front in a way that she doesn't feel like she's being a bitch or being too structured or difficult, and, you know, is not being the soft, nurturing woman. Doesn't make her feel feminine to do these kind of what look like masculine things in a relationship, right? But there is a way of doing it without jeopardizing that, to keep the energy there, the correct masculine feminine energy, and to make sure that he respects those boundaries. There are ways of doing that.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I was a lot more masculine in my approach to things. I was, for me personally, I definitely grew up in an environment very right and wrong. And when I would communicate with men in my 20s, I would be very much, I don't like that, you know, that's not okay. And to a point, you know, if something really quite drastic had happened, but sometimes it wasn't the worst thing in the world, and I just really delivered it poorly. So I've had to learn myself to soften, to share my perspective on things, not necessarily making it an absolute truth, and taking responsibility as well for things, because, you know, I think I would scare people a little bit, to be quite honest. And I wondered why, you know, guys are like, oh. So I've definitely been there. Okay, so before we wrap up, you know, everyone has this fairy tale of what they would like their relationship to be like, and we all want romance and we all crave it. So how is the best way to create that fairy tale romance?
The fairy tale romance, what everybody dreams of. Well, you know, you have to start by asking yourself the question, is it really a craving for a fairy tale romance that you want? You know, this is the first question you have to ask. And it's okay if it's a yes or no. But you have to understand, it is your definition of that unreasonable as an expectation for a relationship? You know, is it something that's really realistic? Mm. Or is it you want this, you have this idea or visualization of what a relationship should be in your head, and you think you want that, but your patterns of behavior in a relationship tend to do the opposite. Like, I would often tell myself, hey, I really want to commit a relationship, but what I was doing was kind of the serial monogamy thing, jumping from person to person. Mm. What I needed to admit to myself was I was kind of shopping. Mm. And, you know, we have to be careful about indulging in that dangerous notion about the fairy. Well, of course, with a fairy tale, there's inevitably a prince or princess out there, right? And you don't necessarily want that, but you should believe in the romantic ideals to some degree, because they are what make relationships so awesome and cool and special. Mm. So you have to kind of temper it, right? There is an idealistic part of you that has to really be in touch with that passion and the energy to have that relationship, because that's what's going to give it the fuel it needs to keep going. Mm. And yet be tempered with an understanding of how relationships really work. And sometimes it's doing things that don't sound like they're out of Grimm's fairy or any of the fairy tales out there. Grimm's fairy tales are probably the worst ones to build a relationship on, by the way. You don't want to push your mate into the oven or anything like that.
So. No, not every day.
Not every day. No, exactly. And just keep it on really low heat just in case.
Yeah. The only heat you should be having is in the bedroom, right?
There you go. Light the sheets on fire.
That's right. Okay. And I will ask this one other question. I'm just going to keep going with questions here. Is what qualities do you, for women who are dating, should you look for in a mate that will pretty much equate to a wonderful, successful relationship?
The qualities that I would say, well, one of the big ones, and this is really important, it's kind of like an open social skill in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's something I call looking at you, looking at me. Mm-hmm. And it's the ability to see through our partner's eyes back at ourselves, to kind of see what they're seeing and understand. It's the old Stephen Covey thing, right? To seek to understand first before being understood.
Yes.
You know, if you push that and please hear me, you know, listen to me, that's not going to work, because the other person digs their heels in and then neither person sees anything. Mm. But if you stop and if you can let go of the immediate emotional urgency, which is usually what causes the problems in our relationship, if you can let go of that for a little bit, look through the other person's eyes and see what they're seeing. It's the old walking a mile in a person's moccasins. It's that ability just to see yourself through their eyes, and you'll get insights about yourself. You get insights about the other person, and you'll immediately have an understanding of what to do in the relationship too. It's really an amazing thing to develop. It takes time, but it's really worth it.
No, I love that. I totally agree with that. And because the thing is that I'm not talking about a guy or being in a relationship with someone who's really just not a nice person. If you've got a decent guy, he's pretty good to you, and most of the time they're not trying to do things to be horrible. So they're normally, they've said something or they're behaving in a way that if you seek to understand, then you probably will get a very different perspective, and they're not trying to be horrible to you normally. It's just your perspective on how how you see things. And actually I have a Russian grandmother, and I was at her house the other day and it was gold. I actually got out my phone and started recording the conversation. Mm-hmm. And before I got the phone out, she even said some other things that were really just quite interesting. And she was even saying stuff that I write about. And so she's 90 and she says, darling, you know, in a relationship, she said, you are both right. And I thought, wow, she says, he's right, you're right. You see things differently. So you're both always right. You just try to understand each other. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have got to get this recorded. I loved it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that too. I like it with the accent too. That really adds to it.
I tried. I think it's a little bit different to that, but I tried. even though I've got some Russian heritage, I don't really know how to speak with a Russian accent. But anyway, so now we really are going to wrap it up. So what are the things that you're most excited about? I know that you're really so very passionate about working with women and helping women. And so what do you want your listeners to learn about you and to know about your program a little bit more? And I'll give people the link to that in a second. So what would you like to share?
Well, I'm totally excited about the new articles I've been writing for women, these new, what I consider to be, hopefully, might be sound grandiose, revolutionary programs that I'm creating to help women create that loving relationship that they desire with their man without the pitfalls of losing the connection with them. Best way to never have to feel that is to never, you know, put yourself in that position. There's ways to actually proactively make your relationship everything you always wanted it to be. And I've also been working on showing women what's going on inside the man's mind, and that's what I was talking about, the man mind map. It's everything from the myriad of reasons why men pull away to why we choose to connect with women and the ones we don't choose to and the traits and the things we're looking for that will really make them yours forever. Yeah. So I really encourage women to take a look. At least get my free Perfect Passion Insider Tips, my newsletter. Mm-hmm. I've got some great videos I'll be producing for the site, as well as a very interesting little ebook that I put out recently that a lot of women like. It's called Confessions of a Commitment Phobe, or actually Former Commitment Phobe. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate date that a woman can create for a guy that's going to really knock his socks off.
Oh, wow.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Oh, goodness. That sounds, I'm intrigued.